You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and hopefully watching the Financial Survival Network. Sometimes it's just not enough to survive, and nobody out there, none of you, should be looking to just survive. You want to build a legacy, whether for your family, for yourself, to support your spouse, or other causes that you want to undertake, other activities that you want. And if you're not succeeding, then you might not be failing, but you're not moving ahead. Success, in my opinion, means growth. And growth, it doesn't just mean increasing the dollars in your bank account, although that is a good measure in some respects. It's about growing as a person. I hate to use cliches, but being the best version of yourself and really just becoming the person who you've always wanted to become. And somebody who's done that, well, you're going to be hearing from them shortly. I'd like to get your stories of your personal growth. Tell me how you did it or what you're trying to do and what you're doing to try to bring about your vision of yourself and where you see yourself in this world. The email address, simple, kl@carrielutz.com. Well, our good friend John Seforek is back with us now, author of The Wealthy Gardener. And he's got a new book coming out in August called The Wealth Essentials System, and highly recommended reading because you'll read many success books in your life, as have I. Self-help books on how to accomplish a happier life, how to make more money, how to make $1 million in the stock market. That's easy. Just start with 10 million and you'll make $1 million in no time at all. All these things, you read these books, but John's system is a holistic system to help you get where you want to be. John, it's great to have you back, and really kind of want to touch base with you and see how the Wealthy Gardener is doing and how things are going in general.
Hey, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me back. I consider that an honor. So let's do this. Hey,
oh, and the site, of course, is wealthygardener.com. Wealthy Gardener, Life Lessons on Prosperity. And I remember our last talk, you were telling me something about your son and how this all came about.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the hard question. Everybody always says, well, why did you write a book? I wrote a book for my son when he was in college. I wrote a book about finance. And so, like, why not just sit down with your son on a couch and talk to him? Why not just give him a few lessons on the couch? Why'd you write a book? And so that's always been the hard question for me. It was after, you know, I'd come out of the trenches myself. It had been a struggle. I entered life with $200,000 worth of student debt in today's dollars. Ended up to be, you know, where I was at 50. I was pretty well off financially. And at that point, he was about ready to walk out the door out of college. And he was about ready to do the same exact things I was about. I had just finished. And so to me, as a father, it was only protective, or it was kind of my responsibility to just pass along my lessons. And it was meaningful to me to do that, because I think the struggle, the climb was difficult, and I wanted him to at least go with my life lessons, at least take off from, you know, climb that mountain knowing what I know. And that's all we can do for our kids sometimes. And so it became a really cool thing where I would just text him back and forth. We were emailing chapters back and forth, and we just had a good time as a father son writing that book.
So it kind of became a family project, if you will. What do you think the top three lessons of the book are? What you thought they were when you wrote it, and now that you've gotten feedback and you've sold copies, what you think they are now?
You know, keep in mind, Carrie, I wrote the book after I did it. So, like, I'm talking from a standpoint of knowing what it's like in a war. And then this is not that I'm saying that it was a war, but you might want to talk to a soldier who had been there. And I was that soldier. And so I came out pretty hardened on what I knew was the facts. I'm not writing a book thinking this might be the case. I'm writing a book like this is the case. Top lessons, there's no question in my mind, Carrie. You know, just what you, where you were talking about the intro there, and you were saying the best version of yourself and growth and, you know, become who you can be. I don't know how you do that without having extreme time consciousness, extreme focus of hours in your day. One of my concepts in the book is impact hours. It's probably the concept that gets the most feedback, impact hours. It's about the impact of an hour or lack of impact in an hour. That's all we have to work with. We have our time and we have our money, and we can spend our time and our money in different ways as we go through life. That was the big one, and you can't do that. So that was it's time management. It was so important. I would say essentialism even. And then another one was clarity. I mean, there's no question. You can't have anything without clarity. And that, you know, following clarity of mind and your goals becomes the time management, becomes the how you spend your money. That's all there is to wealth. It's how we spend our money and how we spend our time. It comes down to that. So the challenge is executing on what we want to do. That's the human condition here. It's 90% behavior.
Sure. And you want to become successful, but not lose your soul in the process. How many of you out there have found yourselves doing things you don't want to do, maybe even doing things illegal or immoral to build that wealth portfolio that you want to pass on? And I guess from the Bible, you gain everything but lose yourself. And that is a real danger, especially in a morally relativistic society in which we live now, where the ends often are claimed to justify the means. Not to me personally, because I always felt, John, you have to live with yourself in the end and do unto others, the golden rule, right? I mean, you really have to.
I can speak on that. I can speak on that for sure, Kerry. I was in that dilemma because as a chiropractor, there's no question that business is such that you make more money the more visits you see. So if you come to me and I see you for 20 visits, it's going to make more money than if I see you for 5 visits, right? That's a moral dilemma in a profession where that's the compensation system. And so I always said in my life, if I have to be so stupid to screw people to earn a living, I don't respect myself. So like, I have to be smart enough to figure out how to do this, how to do it well. And if it doesn't work, then to get out of it and do something else. I believe that's where it is. You have to have enough confidence in yourself that you can do it and win within the boundaries. You know, like, that's what it is. Who's smart enough to do it? If you're so dumb you can't do it without cheating, then that's an insult to you. So that's how I took that one.
Yeah, well, a lot of you out there have insecurities and don't believe you can do it. And then you justify it by saying that the system is rigged, which it is, let's face it. But just because it's rigged doesn't mean that you can't make it work in your favor, right?
Well, absolutely. And be careful, because we can rationalize anything. I mean, I get it, especially when there's a victimless crime. I mean, I could be billing insurance. I could be doing things like that I'm not doing. It happens all the time. And you say, well, it's a huge conglomerate. It's a victimless crime. Like, no. Like, live with dignity. You can win, and you can win honestly. And you have to believe that before you just have to believe you can get out of it if you can't win without cheating. That's all.
Yeah, well, myself, and it took me a long time to realize that, John, I was always looking for the easy way to get where I wanted to be. And the fact is, the easy way is often the hardest way, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's human nature. I don't judge that. And I think you said something else before, like, we're in this materialistic society. I don't think that everybody's to blame for their situation. I do think we're brainwashed somewhat if we don't fight back. If we don't fight back and push back mentally and take control of our minds. Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're all lazy to some extent. So the question is, who can make themselves get very clear on what they want and then execute? The big gulf between intention and execution, man, that was the game of life for me. And I've always used a system, you know, myself, to keep myself accountable to my own actions. I think that was the key to everything with me.
When you look at all this and the corruption of society, of all of our institutions, especially, you know, in this day and age, John, how do you explain to your son, say, you got to follow the rules, you know, you got to stay legit, you have to really have values. What does your son say about that?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper. At just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful, it's at low elevation, and the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7-kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, gold.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
You know, Carrie, to me, I take a hard line, you know, and you're talking about your own kids here, so I can say what I want to say to some extent. And your dignity as a man, your dignity as a man depends on that. It's not about what you want to do. You know what? You don't do what you want to do in life. You do what's right in life. I have zero tolerance for that. If he goes out and, you know, he's in the financial world now where there's temptations out there. If you end up doing that perp walk with somebody leading you to your car, that's not on me, man. You make your own choices, but you will not have the dignity of a person if you do that. You just won't. And who, like, for what? Yeah, for some gain, for a nice house. How about we just back off and learn how to not be materialistic and just live a little bit below our means? And then we fight that instead of fighting and trying to earn illegal money. That can really screw us hard. So, you know, that's not worth the risk. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, we go back to that issue of being the best version of yourself possible, right? And doing illegal things, unethical things in pursuit of wealth isn't going to get you there, is it?
You know what, Carrie? I think people have to just sit back and like reevaluate and say, you know, how can I? Was, you know, the thinking, the question, how can I get from here to there? How can I get out of this profession? How can I get this in my life? How can I sit down and just use your mind more? There's just so little time for that. But you've got to extract that out of your schedule and start thinking, how can I? How can I? How can I? And that gets you there without cheating. It always does. There's so many ideas come to you that you don't have time to implement them all. But that's how you get there. You don't sit down and think, how can I cheat? You think, how can I win? Yeah. It's just a mindset.
Right. And, you know, but we go back to Vince Lombardi, winning is not the important thing. It's the only thing. And maybe that works in a football team, in a football game in an earlier day. But now you have to qualify it. But you got to follow the rules and not intentionally hurt anybody physically, that you're going to leave lasting damage to that person. You know, there's a whole bunch of qualifiers that come with things that we used to just really take for granted here.
I'll tell you what. Okay, keep with the Vince Lombardi idea. The Vince Lombardi, the way he won was he ran it up the gut. He would just run it up the gut, run it up the gut. He would hand off he would go for three-yard runs. It's about as exciting as watching a glacier melt. And, you know, that's how he won. Fundamental. He showed up in front of the team when he was first the coach there. He said, gentlemen, this is a football. And one of the guys said, can you please slow down a little for us? You're getting ahead of us right now. He was all about fundamentals. And he was all about small daily progressions. And that's how it would correlate to our own lives. He was about 3 yards at a time. And that's just about how success happens in this world. 3 yards at a time. Like, forget about that big pass and just stick to the daily executions. Do what you know you should be doing day after day after day. And it's 90% that. It just is.
Exactly. Hey, I do some mentoring for SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives. And, you know, I try to get people to just say, focus. I find the biggest problem that they have, these entrepreneurs, is focus because they haven't most of them are newbie entrepreneurs, haven't done this before. And, you know, sometimes it's very blunt, and I don't mean to like hurt people or it's tough love. But I said, you know, you got to go into the office, and every day you have to do three things to get you closer to your goal. Ideally five. And for myself, I remember I was in business with my brother, hated every moment of it, had to get out, and approached our largest competitor to buy the company. And it took a lot of time, but for 9 months, all I did was do three things every day to make sale of my business a reality. And after 9 months of just me pushing it through, it happened. And I learned a lot from that. So I think in any endeavor that you undertake, you need to do 3 to 5 things per day, and preferably prioritize, do the ones that are going to get you the most bang for the buck first, and do the unimportant or less important ones after. And as long as you go in there with that mindset, you will accomplish your goal.
Now, I love it, Kerry. So let me ask you a question. How did you make that list? And what was your procedure, your morning procedure for making that list?
Great question. I hate when people say great question when you ask them a question. I know all my questions are great, but seriously, I would just go down. I'd have before really computers were that big, but I either had a yellow notepad because I was a lawyer and I had them all over the place, and I'd write down the list for the day, or I would do it on the computer, or I just knew them because they were really big items and I didn't even need to put them down. I knew what I had to do. And then I would kind of brainstorm myself, if I couldn't think of those five things, come up with more. And it's the drive, the focus that gets you where you need to be.
And so I would make the case that, I mean, I've done the same thing. I believe in three priorities per day. And if you get too far beyond three, now you're just moving into a to-do list at that point. You're really not prioritized unless you got your top three and then everything else that follows it, right? And people always, they'll always ask, like, how do you do this? Or how do you, like I just asked you, it's not that hard, was it? It's really not that hard to go down and grab your notebook and fill out those three priorities. But the problem is what the things that are easy to do are easy to not do. And so we just end up not doing them. And so people live without the focus. And then the time management doesn't happen properly without that priority list. They're working on trying to figure out how to buy lunch instead of that thing that I love your story about how every day you applied pressure to three things to sell a business. And that's how it happens. And you know, it's not that sexy. That's why it doesn't get a whole lot of attention, but that's how it happens.
Hey, and I'll also add the law of attraction to this, but I don't think the law of attraction is just sitting on your ass hoping for good things to happen and thinking nice thoughts. I think the law of attraction requires action, but using the law of attraction, you will act if you use it properly. And for myself, I didn't even realize I was applying the law of attraction when I did. It took a long time further, and it's not anything that's that esoteric, the law of attraction. It just works when you work.
You know, I will back you on that. There are, you know, you would love to say that you push the ball up the hill all yourself. You know, the self determination. I cannot tell you how many lucky breaks came my way, fortuitous events, coincidences that align exactly to how I'm thinking. I mean, it takes a pretty arrogant person to think that you know it all, and that's impossible. And so I know that they think it's impossible that the law of attraction cannot be. I think it's a very arrogant attitude. And I have the attitude that I'm very open to it. And I see coincidences happen at an astonishing rate of frequency that I cannot explain. And that gives me evidence to believe that if you put your mind on something, there are powers that can happen that we don't quite understand just yet.
Absolutely. And I think every person, you know, the idea of success, every person who's been successful has applied these concepts, whether consciously or unconsciously. So you can learn to do it too. Just go over to wealthygardener.com, order the book, highly recommended reading. It's gotten incredibly high reviews on Amazon and on Audible. You could get do the audiobook like me. I'm a huge audiobook fan, John. Just don't have time to read books, and my eyes aren't honestly as good as they used to be. I'm not putting in a plug for Audible at all. They once were a sponsor. They're not anymore. So be it. I don't really need them. I don't really care. But audiobooks are one of the great innovations of the ability to absorb and take in information. Just, John, just tell us quickly the book that you're working on now. You said that's going to be done roughly in August.
You know what? It's just a sequel. I mean, but I shouldn't say just a sequel, because it's The Wealthy Gardener is a story, and this was the book. If you think of it like The Godfather, this is The Godfather 2. This is when Michael Corleone takes over the family business, and there's kind of a sequence to that, because The Wealthy Gardener tutored a young guy. It became the apprentice, and the apprentice now becomes the master. But he tries to bring all of the, well, he doesn't try, he does. He systematizes this entire large philosophy of success into a streamline of a system that a person can enact daily, and they can then have more personal effectiveness in their lives, meaning their hours, meaning their spending, and meaning a lot of the habits that you just talked about. You know, what follows like that? That's just one thing. We're talking about 12 things in this book. It's called The Wealth Essentials. And you just spoke of one of them. Prioritize 3 things a day. You get it's a point system, and this is a compensation system where you get points for doing that one thing. And so it's interesting to be able to systematize our behaviors, kind of like Benjamin Franklin once did with his virtues. You know, you track them, and then they become a part of your character and your habitual behaviors. That's how winning is done. And sure. So that's what this book is about, a tangible system.
And I would just say my next thing besides that, I just use that example because that was a case where it really paid off in spades. The next thing is whatever I'm trying to do, whatever I'm working on, whether it's podcasting, YouTube videos, I'm always trying to do my best and go back and improve where it needs improving. I still have a radio coach 11 years after I started this thing, John, because there's still improvement to be had. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Guys, go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Get our free newsletter. We'll talk to you again, John. Good luck on the book and be well.
You too. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.